On this episode of Secrets of Staffing Success, we take a look back at some of the best moments of 2018.
Welcome to Secrets of Staffing Success from Haley Marketing. Candid conversations with innovators and thought leaders in the staffing and recruiting industries. Your host for Secrets of Staffing Success is Todd Lewandowski, Director of Content Marketing with 15 years experience in marketing for the staffing industry. You can follow the show on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, and the podcast app on your Apple device. And now, here's Todd.
Welcome to a very special edition of Secrets of Staffing Success. We're going to take a look back at some of the best guests and best moments from this show from 2018. Of course, if you ever want to subscribe to this show to make sure that you don't miss any great moments in 2019, you can find us on iTunes, on Spotify, on Google Play, on Stitcher, basically anywhere where you can download a podcast. Just search for Secrets of Staffing Success, and all of our brand new episodes will be sent directly to your phone. So let's kick things off. Just about a month or so ago, we talked with Amy Bingham from Bingham Consulting, and she shared with us some of the things that staffing firms need to do to get ready for 2019.
Well, you're absolutely right. I encounter more owners of independent firms that will tell me when I ask if they have a plan, they'll say, well, you know, it's in my head. And I say, well, let's get it out of your head. So that's the first thing we need to do. So yes, the planning piece is huge. That said, 70% of strategy is never executed. So I like to talk as much about, if not more about, okay, now we have our 3 to 5 year plan. What do we need to do in 2019 to start to make this a reality? So 2 to 3, and that's three is any more than three is probably not manageable.
Yeah.
2 to 3 key objectives that will actually be potentially high payoffs that are doable, achievable, that the owner, executive, and team can actually make happen is what I recommend doing. So take that plan and boil it down to bite-sized pieces and decide first and foremost, what are we going to do? What are the 2 or 3 things we're going to do in 2019 that's going to help move the needle?
Up next, we talked with Michael Menzer from Staffing the Universe about the importance of employee engagement with your internal staff.
You know, let's not minimize it. Employee engagement is important across the board, whether it be in our industry or other industries. But I think specifically within our industry, you know, we tend to see, unfortunately, a high amount of turnover. You know, we're in production-based roles, we're in high-stress positions. And, you know, unfortunately, there are times where people come into this industry expecting one thing and then end up getting burnt out or, you know, it's not exactly what they expected. Retention as a whole becomes extremely important for your organization to grow. You know, if you're constantly turning over your internal employees, especially on the production side, you know, it's very hard for individuals when they come into a company to gain traction or really put that production forward. So at the end of the day, the more willing you are to really get ingrained with employee engagement, ingrained with your company's culture, and we'll talk about it a little bit later, but, you know, really interview and look through the process based on your internal culture, it's only going to benefit your organization. You know, the longer we can keep people on, the more productive they are, the more they grow and learn with your company, the more successful you're going to be as an organization.
You know, one of the big buzzwords of 2018 in the staffing industry was virtual reality. And we had a chance to talk with Kelly McCreet from Hamilton Riker about how his firm is really being innovative in how they use virtual reality with their training program.
So we partnered with an offshoot company out of from Tennessee Tech University. And Tennessee Tech in Cookeville, Tennessee is an engineering, primarily great engineering program. And some of the guys up there developed some virtual reality testing and training for Nissan. And we started talking to them about doing something with forklift drivers. And that was a big skill set that we place. And so we worked with them and we purchased you know, the virtual forklift, and we put it down in Tupelo, Mississippi, and started testing and training all of our candidates there for this particular client. And so, you know, it's the full, I call them the Google glasses. You know, you got the mask, you got the gloves, and there's 7 assessments that you can take, and you can, you know, it starts with how to turn a forklift on, and you can test Do they know how to turn it on? Do they know how to raise the forks up? Do they know how to lower the forks? Then can they make, you know, can they drive it? And then it gets, you know, it gets harder and harder. And what we found was that by putting our applicants through that module, they had a much, much higher success rate when they actually got out on a live forklift at our client. Hmm. So instead of, say, I think our numbers before, we were about 50%. So 50% of the people that we would send out there would pass the actual forklift, you know. Hmm. Now we're up to about 80% by taking them through this virtual reality test. Wow. And so it's, you know, that's we're still collecting the data. We started with it this year, but you know, it fits inside of our office. You can take them out to job fairs. And it's interesting that it's definitely the people that are under a certain age love it. People over a certain age think it's a waste of time.
Sure. It's definitely a generational thing, no doubt about it.
It is generational.
Yeah.
It is.
You know, earlier in this special show, we talked with Amy Bingham about what staffing firms need to do to get ready for 2019. But we want to take it a step further. When we had Barry Asen on from Staffing Industry Analyst, I asked him, what do staffing firms need to be doing now to prepare for the next 2 to 3 years?
Well, you know, I think there's two things. It's like you've got to be able to walk and chew gum. Mm-hmm. You won't have a business in 2 to 3 years if you're not doing the day-to-day execution of, you know, of building a great company. And, you know, I guess the number one thing I'd be encouraging people to do to prepare is, you know, to grow your team. To really grow the skills and the capability and, you know, the sort of ability to operate independently of your organization. And, you know, and to be clear about the standards you want to hit and, you know, and to really execute on that. So that's on the one hand. And on the other hand is you've also got to have an eye on the future. Because, you know, I think we're in this time of incredible change. I think a lot of the core of the business will always remain the same, this connecting workers in work and all the things that get done around that. But the future is not, it's not going to be your parents' staffing industry if we look into the future. I think it's going to be a lot more tech enabled. There's just a lot of change coming. You know, it's not going to end with online platforms and human cloud. It's just going to continue to accelerate. You know, we see already artificial intelligence. You mentioned virtual reality. We're tracking, you know, our job in large part is to help people look around the corner. And so, like, we're already writing research reports about, you know, what's the impact of blockchain going to be on the staffing industry. So I think, you know, that's the challenge, right? As business owners and leaders is to, you know, to be able to do both, to execute in the here and now and to get yourself prepared for the future. I think there's lots of opportunity out there. And I'm pretty confident that the industry, it's going to look different, but I think the industry is going to continue. It's going to continue to thrive, and there'll be winners and there'll be losers, and that's sort of the way it goes in business.
You know, I always like doing a show where we can kind of focus on one central theme, and that was the case when we talked with Chase Dawson from JCD Staffing. He's only been in business for about 3 years, so I wanted to talk to him about what it's like having that startup mentality and do you ever lose it? And I just loved his answer to this.
I'd say, yeah, I like to feel like a startup. I think it's important too, because, what I think is a killer in staffing is complacency. And, you get a few people billing, you're like, okay, this is great. And, you know, you're just like, well, I don't have to do anything today, you know, and that's, you know, the pros and cons of kind of owning the business. You can kind of set your own schedule, but then again, you can set your own schedule, you know, so you can, you know, you're not forced to get up and go. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's good to be always on your toes, always trying to push forward. So I think it's important to have a startup mentality because, you know, as a startup, you don't know if you're going to make it or not. And that kind of provides a lot of motivation to, you know, to get up and go every day. Now with that being said, you know, in our third year here, I mean, we do have, you know, a nice stable base. We have some great clients and, you know, kind of getting the name out there. So, on one hand, I kind of force myself to feel like a startup. But you know, we're doing well and I think we can kind of continue on this track. You know, maybe one day I'll not feel like a startup, but for now, yeah, why not? Why not? Just it's been working, and I think it just gives you that get up and go.
When I asked Sunil Bagai from Crowd Staffing to be on the show, I wasn't sure how the episode was going to be received because it was a show that was really focused on technology in staffing, but it actually turned out to be one of our best listened to episodes of the year. And in this next clip, I asked Sunil, how can staffing firms embrace technology but still keep that personal touch that's so essential to this business?
It is absolutely key. And think of it as almost a return to the past, actually. Staffing started out as a very human, high-touch business where individuals were contacted and they would even actually be invited into an office, meet with you know, their representatives from a staffing agency to figure out whether they're the right fit. And the agencies were responsible for ensuring that right fit from a people perspective, skill perspective, et cetera, right? Because of automation, because also of just how the economy has grown, people have less time. They don't want to go to an office, especially if they're looking for a job, they can do it from the comfort of their mobile device. So there's a trend of depersonalization that's been happening over a period of time, right? However, my belief is that, you know, it's not just about high tech, and it's not just about high touch. It's really about a combination of both. And where that synergy lies is really where the magic is going to be, because we can use technology to push forward on automation, on essentially, you know, simplifying our day-to-day lives and tasks that we do from a staffing perspective. But we need the high touch to create that Jerry Maguire effect really, of the talent agent, right? And basically getting individuals to feel like they're super important to contributing towards the meaning and purpose that they're driving within that organization they're going to be joining. So that both of those together and finding that right harmony and balance is, in my opinion, essential for how we move forward.
Well, probably the number one theme of all of our shows this past year has been about how to find candidates. And when we had Leanne Pinard from Crescendo Consulting on, I asked her, what are some of the best tactics for finding those passive candidates, those candidates that aren't necessarily looking for jobs?
Well, honestly, I spent a lot of years in technical and IT. And the best way that you can attract them is for them to hear your name from someone else. So by taking great care of your associates, you have, what is it, a 40% higher chance of bringing someone in if they're brought in with a friend, with someone who knows them, be a trusted advisor, than you do if you're just, you know, talking with someone off the street. So if I can pick up the phone and I say, Sam asked me to give you a call. You know, he's worked with me for 3 years and he says, you're great at this. And, you know, you're going to get that call back because they trust Sam. So, I mean, that to me is the best way to get active candidates. It's by creating an active and enthusiastic and loyal associate team that is out there promoting you because you're treating them right and doing well by them.
Well, one of my favorite episodes of the year was when we got to sit down with Brad Smith, our director of social media marketing here at Haley Marketing Group, not only because he's been a good friend of mine for about 20 or so years now, but because it was one of those rare opportunities where we actually get to be in the same room as one of our guests. And not only that made it unique, but all of the questions came from our listeners. I asked everybody who listens to our show, you know, what would you like us to talk about? And one of the questions that came up was, what are some of the traits of successful staffing owners? Brad and I have gotten to talk to a lot of staffing owners over the years, and so it was great to pick Brad's brain about this topic.
I would also look at industry conferences like the American Staffing Association, Staffing World Conference, Staffing Industry Analysts Executive Forum. Look at the panelists there and listen to and learn from them. They're on those panels for a reason because they're some fast-growing companies. Yeah. They're innovative thinkers. They're not afraid to push the boundaries a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I think those are some keys right there. But this one that I wrote down is really – going to sound like just common sense, but I think they're great at hiring.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, duh.
Right.
Right. But not just great at hiring temporary staff, they're great at hiring internal staff.
Yeah, definitely.
And they bring on people that have values that are aligned with the company values. Mm-hmm. They fit in. They're aggressive. They're continually looking to grow. So I think the leading staffing executives are ones that are great at identifying internal talent.
Yep.
And on the flip side of that, it's also people that are great at firing. And I hear this a lot at conferences. You need to hire slow and fire fast.
Yep.
You need to identify when people in the organization aren't working, aren't going to be successful, don't have what it takes,
right,
and get them out. Because what they're going to do is bring down everybody else around.
Yeah.
And you're, as an executive, going to spend so much more time trying to get them to change when they're never going to change.
Yeah.
So, you know, making sure that you hire the right talent and weed out the talent that isn't working. And that sounds a little ruthless, but it's business.
Yep.
I think that the firms that are and the leaders that are accountable for themselves and accountable for their staff and set very specific and clear objectives. I think that's one of the biggest challenges is when teams and staff don't understand what's expected of them. Yeah. They don't know what KPIs they're trying to work towards. Mm-hmm. How could you ever be successful if you don't know what KPIs you need to meet in order to be successful? Yeah. So, I think being clear and concise there. I would say that the top companies that we see really understand their place in the market. And what I mean by that is they're not trying to be everything to everyone.
Right.
They're very niche focused. They have identified where they're extremely successful. They won't take a order that doesn't fit company. Great example of this. I a company in New England. I was on in a marketing roundtable board, and I absolutely love this. And she said that they have a centralized internal recruiting team.
Yep.
And they devote a lot of resources to job orders and filling those job orders and have a lot of spend. If they get a job order from one of their account executives that doesn't exceed the local market pay rate average, they don't devote internal recruiting resources to it because that's a bad order.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I think, you know, setting up those expectations and getting people all along the line to buy in and follow that makes sense because their thought is those are C&D orders.
Right.
And if they're trying to recruit and use their resources on C&D orders, they're missing out on A and B orders, which have higher markups, which have higher potential, which are better clients, which have jobs that are more attractive to job seekers. So that's where they're focusing their attention. So again, I think just understanding your place in the market and not being afraid to turn down business or not being afraid to go back and educate your client and really having a process for that and empowering your staff on those best practices, I think can really help growth.
We're going to finish up with one of my favorite guests, and not only was it one of my favorites, but it was also one of your favorites. It was the most listened to episode of all of 2018, and it was with Scott Winthrop. And of course, you know, Scott's been involved in the staffing industry as a strategist, a speaker, an author for about 30 years now. So we had a lot to talk about with Scott, and we're definitely going to have him on again in 2019. But I thought this was a nice clip to end on. I asked Scott what advice he would have for sales reps in the staffing industry.
So you said one or two. I'm going to pick one.
Okay.
But it's big.
Okay.
Right? And this may surprise some people, given everything else I said, and for those who know me, so bear with me. And it's two words to all those new people. Be greedy. Okay, four words. Be greedy as hell. Be greedy.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not talking money. I am not. And here's why I say that. You know, be greedy when it comes to how many companies you desire to serve. Mm. One of the reasons I watch sales hires, new and old, fail is they're calling on too few customers. There's been this, I don't know, unwritten rule for a long time that, you know, a salesperson should pursue 20 to 25 companies at a time. That's terrible advice. Mm. It is a recipe for failure. Now, yes, some will get lucky and they'll land a couple clients. But when those go away, those people are screwed.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be greedy. I used to manage a book of 800 prospects. I could do that working 35, 36 hours a week. Most of the salespeople I work with through the organizations I serve are pursuing hundreds of prospects, as many as 800. They're not doing it by working ridiculous amounts of hours. They're doing it in a systematic process approach. So you have to, because the reality is only about 30 to 35% of companies are going to buy each year. And so none of us are smart enough to know which ones are going to buy from us. We have to call on enough. So we have to be greedy about the number of companies we want to help and serve and be better. We also have to be greedy about how you stay in touch. Most salespeople don't stay in touch enough. And I know you've had this tagline at Haley of stand out, stay top of mind for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's really hard to stand out and stay top of mind when you've been forgotten. And if you're not staying in touch with people and being greedy about being in front of them and giving them value, you know, that's going to be a problem. They're not going to remember you. They should be greedy, these new salespeople, and how much impact they deliver. If you deliver tremendous impact, the money takes care of itself. And so if you're greedy in those ways, the money takes care of itself. This firm I talked about early on that gets over 30% margins in all their industries, they are amazingly greedy in all those ways. The money takes care of itself. They ask for what they deserve, and the customers don't feel gouged. They feel served because this firm has such a tremendous impact.
Well, I just want to take a minute to thank everybody who listened to our show over the past year and all of our fantastic guests who are so generous in giving of their time and their expertise to help share their secrets of staffing success. I'm looking forward to a bunch of great episodes coming up in 2019. Even coming up, our next episode is going to be with our very own David Cerns. We talked to him at the end of 2017, and I wanted to bring him back for the end of 2018 and get his thoughts on the year in staffing. So keep an eye out for that. And of course, you can always subscribe to this podcast on Google Play, on Stitcher, on Spotify, on iTunes. If you just pull up your podcasting app that's on your Apple device, you can search for us there. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Staffing Podcast. We'll have all of our brand new episodes posted there, as along with some of the great insights from our team here at Haley Marketing. It has been a great 2018. Thank you so much for everybody who has listened, and we look forward to speaking with you again in 2019.